This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
So, to progress it as quickly as possible, I'd like to introduce Mr. Edward Haleiloa Ayu. Is that correct? Ayu. From Hawaii. Yes, I won't go through the title. I'll leave you to introduce it. So, please welcome Edward.
Aloha no kakou. Can you guys hear me? Is this? Aloha no kakou, oao Edward Hale aloha ayao. He keikia Reynolds le aloha ayao kumakua kane. Mikanoa hine o mara moane ka ala ka eo kumakua hine. Reynolds and mara my parents. He keikia Herrick ahiona ayao ne. Ku ututu ahine. He pa molelo no molokai nui ahina. Ka mamo aloha kaui ka lai o kukuiolani kaula. Kui ki aloha kia kua no hoi. My grandmother's Harriet Ney, and because of her words, I'm here doing this kind of repatriation work. I was a member of a Native Hawaiian organization named Hui Malama Inakupuna Hawaii Ney. We were created from the grief and despair of the 1988 events at a place called Honokuhua on the island of Maui in the Hawaiian Islands, when a private landowner dug up 1,100 ancestral Hawaiians to put in a parking lot for his hotel. Our kumu, our cultural resource teachers, are Edward and Pualani Kanehele, and we were created as a cultural response to what happened at Honokuhua. Little did we know that the problem was much larger, far more painful, and for me, it's been a 29-year journey. We were intended to be an interim response. We were not intended to be the answer, because the answer is the restoration of the awareness and responsible behavior of Hawaiian families to care for their own iwikupuna. It is not the responsibility of an organization. I am the product of my ancestry through my parents, who I just named. I'm also a product of my education at Kamehameha Schools at the University of Redlands, the University of Colorado School of Law, and my work experiences with the Native American Rights Fund, the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation, the Office of Senator Daniel Inouye, and the Senate Indian Affairs Committee. The achievements I am about to share are the results of the application of knowledge and instincts gained from ancestry, education, and Hawaiian cultural training in discipline, in courage, and in focus. And this was all intended to help restore the ancestral Hawaiian Foundation. This is a list of, partial list of the repatriations we have done. We began working on this, on repatriation efforts in 1990. Our work involved the identification, negotiation, and repatriation of over 6,000 ancestral Hawaiian remains from museums, government agencies, and private individuals in the United States, a total of 118 cases. And abroad, including completion of 13 international repatriation cases. In some of the cases, we partnered with other Native Hawaiian organizations, including the State Office of Hawaiian Affairs. Over the past 29 years, we empowered ourselves by inviting and involving our ancestors to guide us. We were trained to utilize and trust our ancestral instincts. In death, our ancestors yearn to be part of the family again. We used them in this way. They want us to. Because by doing so, by uttering their name, by asking for their help and guidance, by placing them in the position of supporting the family once again, they live on. Strategically, we advocated legal principles, including free, prior, and informed consent. We maintained that absent consent, acquisition is de facto theft. And theft cannot form the basis for the legitimate acquisition and continued possession of ancestral human remains and funerary objects. Theft is theft. Strategically, we also sought to create what I call favorable battlefield conditions. We must be careful in asserting legal rights, as in our experience, we have seen museums respond by asserting their perceived legal rights, resulting in a drawn-out legal dispute. Instead, we have asserted that our claim is based primarily on our kuleana, or cultural duty, as living descendants, and that we were the only party to this dispute that held these duties to these ancestral remains. Whereas museums seek to take from the ancestors, we seek to give back to them their place in our family. We would assert that our approach was humane, and the museum's was not. We further asserted that there is no room at the family table for the museum's asserted rights to continue the taking, which at its very best only reifies the ill impacts of colonialism. In the expressions of humanity, the fact that we seek to restore our family says something about us. The fact that museums seek to maintain the separation says something about them. Strategically, we learn to protect ourselves from the psychological harm inherent in the revelation that our ancestors were stolen repeatedly and shipped off to foreign places. Each time we learned of a repeated heinous act of burial site desecration, we were subjected to an incredible level of hurt. Our protection came in the form of pule, traditional prayers taught to us, and knowing who we are as Oivi, armed with such understanding, we were able to shield ourselves from these ill effects. By this statement, I don't mean to mislead anyone that we were not negatively impacted. We were. What I am saying is that we learned to positively process this negativity so that it did not consume us in hatred. We were trained to understand that negativity demands a seat at the table and that we must make room for it. By acknowledging the negative and putting it in its place, we achieve a balanced perspective and have the confidence to proceed successfully. Strategically, our principal weapon in these repatriation disputes is our humanity, our aloha, our values of ohana, of family, that is especially respectful of kupuna, of elders. By respecting our ancestors through repatriation and reburial, we demonstrate profound respect for ourselves. A powerful lesson to our keiki, our children, to love themselves, to help them know that they are never alone, and to help protect their minds from the extremely harmful thoughts that can lead to suicide, and to understand and appreciate their place in the remarkable lineage that is our Hawaiian people. We were trained to initiate a repatriation case by envisioning the result, which of course is reburial. Next, we would embrace that vision with all our heart and soul, which in Hawaiian means we would internalize it in our na'au, in our guts, and prevent any doubt from entering our minds. We would then work backward with the confidence that we would prevail because we already knew the outcome. As was said earlier with the Aborigine speakers, this is about belief. The magic, if you will not happen if you don't believe in what you're doing, and more importantly, understand why you're doing it. We would project confidence and clarity of thought through our advocacy work. In the tradition of the royal twins, Kamanawa and Kami'ia Moku, I would offer the museum either peace or battle. It did not matter to us what option they chose, as the outcome would be the same. In international repatriation cases involving the Natural History Museum in London, which took 23 years to resolve, and the State Museum for Culture in Dresden, which took 26 years to resolve, both of which were contentious, the ancestors ultimately were repatriated. Perseverance is key, as the outcome does not come with a timeline. It is not whether they will come home. It's just a matter of when. Our national repatriation work involved implementation of the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act and the National Museum of the American Indian Act. There is no equivalent legal authority in the international arena. unless a particular foreign country itself has a law that supports or at least provides for repatriation, like the 2004 Human Tissues Act in England. Don't get me wrong. Most museums, in our experience, complied in good faith. The reason why we oftentimes have these conferences is to talk about those who don't and to try and strategize to find a way to achieve a higher level of humanity and through repatriation. There is no international jurisdictional prohibition on our ability to assert aloha. There is no limitations, no statutory limitation on our ability to assert ohana or family. These are universal values and the foundations of Hawaiian culture and what I would argue is Hawaiian law. Since 2007, the passage of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, we asserted these declarations in certain international repatriation cases, principally as a matter of context. So we're not asserting it saying you know, whatever country or institution has to comply. We assert it to provide context that indigenous peoples around the world believe that this issue is so important that that we are of one mind in terms of returning ancestral remains to their countries of origin. So that's intended to create just context. The authority that we rely on are our Hawaiian values, and especially in the absence of statutory law. So we assert that a family's inherent ability and right to remain together, because the treatment of the dead and their possessions are principally family matters. You know, I mean, we've been at this for almost 30 years, and as complex as these cases got, the answer ultimately was the most obvious, that these are family matters. There's no reason to, struggle with jurisdictional issues or language barriers or different legal frameworks. Our value of family applies wherever our ancestors' remains are. Through my repatriation experiences, I came to coin the term intellectual savagery. Earlier today, with the previous speakers, there were some examples of intellectual savagery. An intellectual savage is one who utilizes his or her intellect to deny another their humanity. So when a native indigenous claimant says to a museum, "Please return our family," and the museum says no, we need them to glean information. We need them to explain to you your origins or to explain to people of the world where your people came from. That is an example of intellectual savagery. Strategically, we use this tool to overcome the museum argument for continued possession of human remains and funerary possessions for scientific purposes, while simultaneously ignoring our family values. We would say to the museum, while we recognize science is an important undertaking, it is not an absolute value and one that cannot overcome our values of family. I share with you the Lilo Noiao proverb, "Navai ho ika ole o ki aka mai, he ala nui I ma'a I ka hele ia e o ka ko mau makua. Who would not be wise on the path so long walked upon by our ancestors?" Our family principles are the ultimate form and source of our law. In my experiences over the years, I've learned the following. One, don't fear my ancestral shadow. And what I mean by that is when we started this work, you heard one of the speakers say earlier that in their culture there were no reburial ceremonies. There were none in Hawaiian either, because it was considered such an egregious act to desecrate the remains of another family that it, that very act could touch off a war. And so we were left to recreate, well, create reinterment ceremonies based on our traditional values, based on our understanding of who we are. There was a lot of fear in that when we first started, amongst our own people. People did not, well, felt uncomfortable about looking back into the past, especially with regard to spirituality. And so one of the, you know, important lessons in that is there is no reason to fear our ancestral shadow. That's the shadow of our kupuna. Number two, entitlement is a disease. Responsibility is the cure. And what I mean by that is it takes responsible behavior to make this happen. But just talking about it or feeling like entitled and thinking that a museum is going to just turn them over for no better reason than we're Hawaiian doesn't work. It takes actual kuleana, responsible behavior. And then the third is another olelo no oia that says, oke kahua mamua mahope ke kukulu. And what that means is foundation first, then the structure. So whenever you're looking at establishing something, you have to start with the foundation. So I want to close and then show a brief video, like a five-minute video, regarding a recent repatriation trip we did with the Dresden Museum in Germany. So let me close with the words of Papa Mau Pialug, who's a master navigator from Salawal, Micronesia, who's fondly loved in Hawaii for helping restore the practice of celestial navigation. And he said this. He said, quote, if I have courage, it's because I believe in the knowledge of my ancestors. I believe myself in the knowledge of our ancestors. Therefore, I have courage. And I believe we all do. So, ola naivi, is a Hawaiian saying that means the bones live. Our ancestors live through us. So that concludes, my remarks. And I was hoping, given the makeup of the group, that we would have some time for questions.
So do we have any questions or comments?
Hi, Halle. It's Aloha. Good to see you here. I did have a question. Could you talk a little bit about one of the better experiences in repatriation and some of the worst?
I think one of the best repatriation experiences we had was with the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. Cress worked with us on that case in terms of doing the research necessary to establish that these where these ancestral Hawaiian remains were taken from. In comparison to the two cases that I mentioned, that case took about a year to resolve. Dresden took 26. I was half my age when we started that case. And it wasn't just the expedience that was important. It was just the level of respect that was conveyed on us by the staff and administration at the University of Edinburgh, which has a very significant indigenous collection of human remains. They even held a ceremony. We didn't prompt them. They did this on their own to formally apologize for the taking that occurred over a century before. And interestingly enough, the key, I think, to that whole experience was I shared with them that we were in the middle of this huge battle with the Natural History Museum in London, which I guess gave them a lot of incentive to repatriate to us. So Edinburgh was one of the best experiences. up until this repatriation, I would say Dresden was the worst. Worse in the sense that, there was this common theme at the administrative level, and not just at the museum, within the German government as well. And that was that these remains were their property, and that they had no desire whatsoever to return them. And that it was irrelevant whether or not the remains were collected with the consent of Hawaiian families or the approval of the Hawaiian government. That was absolutely irrelevant. All that mattered was that they were in possession. The German Museum was in possession of these remains. End of story. And, so for me, when dealing with a case like that, the approach is just to be relentless. Relentlessly communicating to them the importance of family. So the reason why this case ultimately got resolved, actually, was because of an article that Honor and I co-authored when asked to respond to the German museum's recommendations on the treatment of international of remains that were going to be repatriated. When Honor first asked me, I had no desire to want to to write about anything involving Germany because this thing was going on for so long. And she convinced me, this would be the opportunity to do that. And we wrote the piece. And in that article, I described this as an example of intellectual savagery. That article was brought to the attention of the current leadership of the museum. And they started direct communication with us. And in those discussions, I offered them the acknowledgement of their humanity for returning our ancestors. And they accepted. And that's why I wanted you to hear what they had to say. Because it was very powerful, especially amongst, we have other claims of other German museums who don't feel this way, who probably aren't happy that Dresden Museum did this. But it's the path forward. It's a recognition that, there's only one Earth, there's one planet. We're not that different. And like the previous speaker said, as human beings, we have certain foundational values, and our family is one of them. And so when our family gets taken, it is an instinctual responsibility to want to bring them back. And that's all we're trying to do. I don't take pleasure in having to battle these museums, but I will do it if that's what it takes. But in the end, when the ancestors are repatriated, we release that. There's no ongoing animosity. Our ceremonies are designed to bring those kinds of energies to an end, so that when the ancestors get buried, so does all the negativity, so we can move forward. Why this is so important to us is, it's a great tool to demonstrate to our children the importance of family and the importance of responsibility, so that they know that if for whatever reason we didn't finish the repatriation of all ancestral remains, they would understand why it would be their duty to continue. So, mahalo. Yes? Oh. I can't see you.
Thank you. I'm Margaret Jolly from the ANU. Very moving to see you and Noel at that ceremony in Dresden. And I suppose this is really just a comment, I think, about this important claim about authority that comes from the morality of family, and how that, together with this sort of universal claim to humanity, is what can move. And, I just think it's really important, as you've pointed out, to avoid all of these kind of legal obstacles
that
come from, you know, even the most well-intentioned jurisdictional stuff can embed sort of ideas of property, you know, so that, you know, what were human beings become objects and property, you know, that are kind of being laid claim to by various institutions around the world. And I just couldn't help but, having been in Hawaii during some of the major Mauna Kea debates and hearing Noel and others talk about how this wasn't science versus culture. It was all about the moral authority of, you know, that mountain is also our ancestor. So I just think that it's a very interesting way in which we can connect how you're finding the strength and the confidence in comparison to what we've heard from Indigenous Australians this morning. So thank you very much.
Mahalo. Amber.
Aroha mai, I've missed the beginning of your talk, so I'm not sure if you covered it then, but I was just wondering, how has repatriation been for you from within Hawaii itself, with the museums?
With the museums or with our people?
With the museums, I guess, as well as the US. So how's more, I guess, domestic repatriations from within Hawaii itself, how's that been?
It was challenging, but for the most part, we rescued all of our kupuna from the Bishop Museum. Mm. It was difficult at the early stages of it, but you know, as some of the speakers said, as time went on, people got used to the idea that, you know, we cannot, just because it happened in the past, it doesn't mean we don't have the courage to address it in the present. So we know of no ancestral Hawaiian remains in Bishop Museum except those that were incorporated into objects. Within our Hawaiian people, though, that was a whole different story. Like I was talking about earlier, there was fear when we first started. I mean, I don't think any museum has ever hurt us worse than our own people did. That's the truth. Because looking back at something this heavy scared people, and their reaction was to attack us, and we were attacked for not incorporating Christianity into our ceremonies, but just the whole idea of dealing with the dead. And then once we were able to deal with that shock, I think our family instincts kicked in, and everyone realized, no, this is the right thing to do. And so now it's the attitude is much more supportive, but it took, which it just speaks to the ill effects of colonization on our minds. I mean, it took this issue to make us realize how far off the path we were and how much we needed to get back. But as far as we know, all of the museums in Hawaii have repatriated back to us, and museums in the U.S. for that matter. All right.
Oh. Just on the fear about the ancestors' spirits, the fear of having the remains in a community center that was close to people, not up and down and out. In our area, on the Kurung, in our keeping place, the fear to come there because they've been over there that long. People said, well, we don't know what negative energy, what bad energy has been put on them. And so our people stopped coming to the place. Certain families wouldn't come there. They talked about the bad spirits that our old people's remains brought with them when they were brought home. And that spread right through the community. And for a while there, a lot of people wouldn't come. They wouldn't come near the place until we started talking about the spirits of our ancestors, about what we need to do, what people need to do. I said, you know, we spoke to them and said, they're your ancestors too, wherever you come from in Ngarangiri country. So it's getting a little bit better, but there's still that fear there of going next to or being involved, because the sickness might spread onto their families, might spread onto them. Mm-hmm. The sickness that is from the country or from the other negative energy that from the other countries they come from. They was left in boxes in museums for a long time. They were just kept there, and we don't know where or what was around them when they were kept in these museums. And, we got the same problem at home in our community. And with the reburials and all that, we have to, like, same as you just said, and I said earlier, we had to design a ceremony for that. So, yeah, just on the fear of what will happen to people if they go near it, and that kept a lot of our people away from that community center.
So, you know, the way we were trained and the way it was taught to us is part of the reason why we are not as strong as we were, why we were subject to sickness and all these ill impacts, was because the ancestors were taken. Because the family is not strong enough to take on these challenges, and that a critical step towards healing was bringing them back. And that's the lesson my grandmother taught me. I was trained in federal Indian law to deal with sovereignty issues, not repatriation. But she told me, if that was the goal, then restore the ancestral foundation first. Okay, kahua maamua. Foundation first. Then the country. And so here we are. Mahalo nui. Aloha.
Thank you, Edward, very much.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.